You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly discussion with leaders around the Midwest about how they adapt and persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, and welcome to our guest, meteorologist Dan Holliday, a name that's very familiar for those of us that listen to our radio stations in this area. Dan, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know what? Weather, and we're in the winter months, so we've had some really nice days. We've had some colder days. Weather's a tough one, but the last couple of years, it seems like it's been tougher than normal. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, we've certainly seen, I think the first thing that comes to mind is the lack of severe weather that we had in 2020 and 2021. And considering the pandemic, that was probably a good thing because people were really concerned about, you know, how do we gather in shelters if there's a public shelter that we have to go to? And we've been below normal in terms of severe weather. And when it comes to life and property, that's a good thing. But we have seen some more extremes. And, you know, weather's always, it's always a challenge to forecast in and around the plains. However, we are really, really fortunate that we have such good technology today that we didn't have even, you know, 10, 20 years ago, let alone 50 or 60 years ago, that can really help us get through this and get a pretty good handle on what's going to happen.
Well, Dan, do you feel that the Kentucky tornadoes that happened in December and then the high winds that we had here in December, when you take a look at that overall, is it really changing, or is it just that we don't remember when this happened back in 1957 when my mom had to put a blanket over my crib so that I didn't get dust in my crib because the wind was blowing so hard? That's a long time ago, and we tend to forget those things. What do you feel when you look back at the charts of where we are, you know, historically looking at weather?
Well, we've always had extremes. And one of the things that we're noticing is we seem to have more extremes than we did. There's a lot of debate about why that is. But what we do know is that we've had our 10 warmest years on record since 1998. So 10 of the most warmest years have occurred here in the last 25 years. And so that's an interesting thing in itself. While it doesn't make drastic changes, it does cause more extreme events to occur. Then you combine that with the fact with everyone has a camera nowadays. So before, you know, it was very few of us, even in the 90s, were equipped and could afford a video camera to capture things. And I think we're seeing a lot more because of that, you know, on social media. So we're capturing more things that are happening. We're also living through a time where it is, or the earth is warming somewhat. So it's a little bit of both. And I would say that, you know, once again, that plays into the fact of having all the video that we do today really helps us learn more about what's going on. Is it more difficult to predict than it used to be? I don't think so. But again, you really have a lot more technology to work with than what we did have. So back in the days, when you talk about the 50s, when we were just getting warning sirens put into play, we not only have the technology in terms of warning folks earlier, but also to learn more and get advanced warnings on things when it comes to storms or whether it's winter weather too.
Dan, when you look at, the federal statistics, it shows that last year was the deadliest weather year in the lower 48 for, almost 10 years. And so when you take a look at that, you say, okay, we have technology to do that. And I think one of the things that the December 15th occasion with all the wind and the fires that were spread across Northwest Kansas, there was forecast 3 or 4 days in advance for wind warning and wind effect. It's just that when it hits and it's 100 mile an hour, it goes right past what most people expect.
Absolutely. And we had two really interesting things happen in the month of December, really two different systems, a very strong low pressure system that moved into the central part of the country and eventually the south around the 10th and 11th in December. That's what caused the tornado outbreak in places like Kentucky and the Missouri Boot Heel and portions of Tennessee and Arkansas. And it was warmer than normal. So we had a very, very warm December, the sixth warmest December on record So that's what caused the severe weather outbreak then. We had another very strong low pressure system that came off the coast of California and moved into the plains on the 15th of December. And that's what caused that big wind event. Due to the computer models that we saw that was measuring how strong this low was going to get, we were able to tell folks, this is going to be something you've never seen in the month of December before, combined with very record-breaking warm temperatures, severe weather, a derecho, which typically happens in, you know, the summer. And then you had the unusually high wind events combined with the fire danger, which was just unusual for the month of December. So December certainly was a month of extremes, and no doubt about it, that wind event is something that I've never seen in the years that I've forecasted or can even remember growing up in Kansas, seeing anything like that in December. But it's certainly one for the record books.
You mentioned a term called derecho. I've not had that or seen that term till doing some research on the program today. Kind of an inland hurricane, and that's really what it felt like. It was just straight winds that were, you know, 60, 70, and at times maybe over 100 miles an hour. And it was an inland hurricane, but something that, again, December was the odd time for that. Is the calendar shifting as far as weather? Are you seeing some of that?
Well, it kind of goes back to we're seeing more extremes more often. And so some of those are occurring in times of the year that we had not typically seen them before, December being one of them. You wondered if we were ever going to have any type of winter weather in the month of December. But we're seeing a little bit more in the terms of extremes. And like we talk about the derecho, typically you need a lot of hot, humid air to produce something like that. And you get a line of storms that that forms, and it produces winds of 60, maybe to 100 miles per hour, and continues for at least 240 miles. That's really the definition of a derecho. And that's what we had in December. And so not only did that occur in a rare time of year, but a statistic showed that was the actually shattered the severe weather events for the month of December. We've never seen that many severe weather events in the month of December ever. So it was very unusual, and certainly one that we'll be studying for quite some time.
Well, the program is Forward Ever, and it's hard to, you know, one thing about weather, it's 100% when you look backwards. Sometimes the forecast isn't 100% going forward. However, you do as close as anybody to getting it right. It's never 100% right. But as you look ahead, are you seeing some of the same thing to happen as we go into spring and summer this year?
Well, what we know from these extreme events like this is it takes a number of different ingredients that come together to make them happen. And we're in a pattern right now called La Nina. La Nina is what that means is it's a cooling of the Pacific equatorial waters. And oftentimes it creates very active weather in the northwestern part of the country, a lot of rain, a lot of snow. We've seen that. And it's typically drier and warmer further south. That's kind of been what we've seen. Now, that's the overall pattern that's expected to continue into the spring. It's not the same every year, but when you combine that with, you know, all you need is a low pressure system to form and come in, be stronger, you need moisture to come in with it, and then you have all the ingredients you need. To say that we know exactly how many extreme events we're going to have, we really won't know until, I would say, maybe a week or a few days out, because we have to see everything coming together. But we know this weekend, for instance, just speaking of the weekend of the, you know, around the 15th and 16th, we have a major winter storm that's going to be forming over the mid-Atlantic and the southern part of the country. So that's something they're not used to. So yet another extreme event, even for the month of January.
Well, I'm excited to see the next question. We're going to take a break, but I'm excited to see your thought on how do we better prepare as we look forward to this? How do communities prepare? What do we do as homeowners, as individuals to prepare? And Dan, you have several resources for being able to do that. Let's take a quick break and come back. Our guest today is Dan Holliday, meteorologist on Eagle radio stations, meteorologist for many around the country. Back with more after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back with our guest, meteorologist Dan Holliday. And Dan, you know, you talk about the weather. We get to live it every day. You get to try to forecast it 3 or 4 days in advance. What do we do as business owners? What do we do as individuals to prepare for this?
Well, I would say if you're looking, you know, a lot of people ask the question, what is the best app to use? And apps, what they do is they take an algorithm of weather data and put it together as best they can. My suggestion would be everything comes from the weather balloons. Believe it or not, it sounds very old school, but it comes from the weather balloons. It feeds into computers, and eventually it goes to the National Weather Service. Weather.gov is a great site. It's really a site where you can get everything from climatological data that has happened, high and low temperatures, record highs and lows, and also, you know, what may be happening in the next 7 to 10 days. And if you want a deep dive, you can actually read something called the forecast discussion. That's something that the forecasters and scientists within NOAA will sort of write out and say, here's what we think is going to happen over the next 7 to 10 days. And if you can read through all the weather jargon, it really gives you an insight as to what to plan for.
Well, Dan, that's why we have you, to read through the weather jargon and then tell us what to expect, because there's a, as you know, I fly an airplane. And so when you do, you always are watching weather ahead and trying to make sure. Winter seems to be much more predictable than summer because the fronts, the low pressures, high pressures move across the country and you kind of get a little bit of advance. But you have a way of jumping into the weather with your reports that help, I guess, those of us that aren't professional meteorologists understand what's going on. And so what resources do you offer through your service, not only on our radio stations, but online?
Well, what we offer, really the basic things are at thestormreport.com, everything from your basic local forecast, sunrise, sunset times, chances of precipitation, temperatures, to an interactive radar that shows you everything from watches to warnings to storm reports, storms that produced recent damage. And you can follow along on both of those links and really get what you need to know. You had mentioned something about, as homeowners and as businesses, what can we do to more prepare ourselves? I would say, you know, it's always important to have more than one way to get a warning. It's great to, you know, if you have your local Eagle radio station that provides weather updates like we do, or severe weather coverage, that's one. And if you can get some text messaging, that's always another great thing too. But the most important thing, have a couple of ways to get warning in case you lose power. But I would say also too, especially when it comes to radio, it never hurts to go, and we sound a lot like the way we grew up, having a battery operated radio in an emergency situation. Always something good to have on hand, even in a basement or with you in a car, in case you lose power or just away from a radio. It's always a trusted source.
I know one of the things that you see and dealing is, it's so, you get so used to internet, clicking up the weather and doing that. Having that backup, that redundancy in your system, to be able to find second ways to do that. You know, you have the stormreport.com is a great site, but if internet's down or electricity's down and you don't have a computer with a battery, having that local radio station there to turn on makes sense. What other ways do you communicate other than on the radio stations?
Radio is the main way, some on social media, but what we try and do is provide information to all of our radio stations that they can push out on their social media accounts, things that they can provide, because we know people, for the most part, while we have our own social media accounts on Facebook and Twitter, to be completely honest, it's very general. It's very almost on a national basis. So we try and provide information to local stations where they can provide, you know, that online information to their local audiences to zero in on an area that folks really care about, because, you know, you really want to know every day when you walk outside, do I need a heavy coat? Do I need coveralls to do chores? Can I wear shorts even in December? What are the kids going to have to wait through in the bus? What type of weather? So those are the basic things that people want to know that we realize. And so we just try to provide as much information to our local stations as we can.
I know one thing it has to be amusing. People that know you and run into you and say, boy, I bet Dan gets the weather report right every day. Do you keep track of that? How well you do?
You know, I don't. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because there will be times that people will comment on those types of things. They'll always bring up situations. I would say the most common thing they'll bring up is severe weather, when they'll say, you know, I heard you talk about the tornado that was coming and we got our family in shelter just in time. And that's why we do this. I mean, that's why we do radio. It's public service when it comes down to it. But the part that is the other side, the caveat to weather, is winter weather forecasting. It is some of the most difficult forecasting you can do, because it involves different types of precipitation. And if, you know, colder air doesn't come in time and change rain over to snow, I will tell you, to be completely upfront, people will say, I was really waiting on that 6 inches of snow and we only got 1 inch. What happened? And you explain it to them and you say, here's why. And that the winter weather is the biggest challenge, but I'm just grateful to get to do this. Growing up on a farm in southern Kansas, it was always fascinating to watch the weather. So to be able to communicate it and hear with other people what they experience too is, I mean, it's a fantastic livelihood.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you joining me, because when we look forward ever, we know it is in spring. Spring is just a busy weather pattern. Do you have any tips for us as we look for spring type weather? Going to be worse than normal, better than normal? Does Dan's old farmer almanac come into play?
Well, it's, you know, what we've seen from the Climate Prediction Center this year is that the pattern, this La Nina pattern, active weather in the Northwest, warmer and drier in the South, the Southern and Central part of the country, is going to continue. We know that even 10 days out, things can change. And year after year, we learn that and can get stung if we say it's going to be all hot and dry for 90 days. It just never does that in Kansas and in the Plains, in Nebraska and Missouri. It just, we oftentimes can get storms that surprise us. So I would say overall, the basic pattern is going to be warmer and drier than average for us, but we will get a storm from time to time. And we may not even see it until, you know, a few days out, but we'll at least be along to track it as it does move in.
I know one thing, when I hear your voice on the radio with the forecast, it makes me feel better. So Dan, thanks for what you do. Thanks for keeping track of things for our listeners. And it's a great reminder, being prepared, having several options. It's a great reminder as we go forward, because you're right, we will have more weather extremes coming up, and being out there and seeing those things, things you haven't seen before, like that fire and the wind that went with that. We'll see more of those, but listening to the radio, being online, finding the right sources makes sense. And thank you for being a part of that.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dan Holliday has been our guest today on Forward Ever. Forward Ever is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence.
Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, sponsored by Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families. And by Eagle Creative, a full-service marketing agency serving Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. If you have a great suggestion for a future guest for the program, you can email Gary at gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. That's gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. Forward Ever is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families.